write that you wrote down the number of people caught in all those things.
Mm-hmm.
A large number.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what was the population at that time? Because in order to have so many people, there's so many soldiers. And so, okay, 我的问题是说，我注意到，比如说在我们现在在第二十八页，它有37,500人，这资源很多，所以我就说那个时候到底那个时候的人有多少人？
26章13节。
So my question is, when I translate, I add more words. So I say, for example, like on page 28, chapter 26, verse 12, oh no, verse 13, you noted them. Oh, well, it says here there are 300,000 and 7,000 and 500. So that's a large number. So mm-hmm. What is the population at the time?
The answer to that question is, I don't know. So that was a brief answer to a long question. But I'm sure there are more people than there were in the armies. So whatever that would be. A lot of people. All right, I have a question before we continue. Thank you, Mrs. Interpreter. You're back.
Sorry.
We missed you. Okay, that's all right. We were just asking a few questions while you were here. All right, let's continue then. We stopped at, I think, page 28 and chapter 26. And verse number, is it 17?
19.
Okay, so here this king, Uzziah, had no right to go into the house of God, wasn't a priest, and offered incense. When he asked the question, are you made of the king's council? This king that asked that question, he was so superior in his attitude, he could even take over the priesthood. It's horrible. God has an order in the Old Testament. He has an order in the New Testament as well. And when the 81 people, priests, in verse 17, went after Uzziah, they withstood him, and they said, "Repenteth not to Uzziah to burn incense to the Lord, but to the priests that are consecrated to burn incense," in verse 18.
这个十七节就是那个祭司亚撒利亚带的那个八十个祭司这样。
Then they said, "Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed and trespassed. Neither shall it be for thee thine honor from the Lord God."
第十八节中间说，你出圣殿吧，因为你犯了罪，你行这事，耶和华神必不使你得荣耀。
I don't know whether they had one spokesman or all 81 of them said, "Get out of here." Thou hast trespassed. Thou hast sinned.
你犯罪.
You don't tell a king he sinned unless you're ready to take the consequences.
你不敢跟那个国王说你犯罪，除非你愿意付。
Verse 19, Uzziah should have admitted he had sinned, admitted he wasn't a priest, admitted he shouldn't have gone in there. But he was wroth, not just angry, he was wrathful. Had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy rose up on his forehead.
他发怒的时候，手拿香炉要烧香。他在祭司面前发怒的时候，额上突然发出大麻风。God
chose leprosy, that disease of leprosy, to attack that wicked king.
得到这个大麻风。And
Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon it. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead.
大祭司亚撒利亚和众祭司观看见他额上发出大麻风。
In the previous verse it said, "Go out." In this verse they thrust him out. They did not wait for him to voluntarily leave. They kicked him out themselves. All 81 of them. Paras, he himself also hastened to go out. So the Lord had smitten him. So he was willing to go out after he got this leprosy in his forehead. And then in verse 21, Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. God could have healed him of his leprosy, but he did not. He was to bear the record of his sin and his face and his whole body until he died. You see the meaning of the first few verses about the ministry of Uzziah? It says in the earlier portions, in verse number 2 of this chapter, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Chapter 25. Is that the wrong king?
Yeah, the other king.
That's Abaziah. Okay, this is Uzziah. Okay, let's go back to Uzziah. What does it say about Uzziah? That's the wrong king.
Verse 4.
Okay, that was the right and the side of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. So his right in the sight of the Lord was only like Amaziah his father did. And we saw the sins of Amaziah the father, and so he followed in his father's footsteps in that as well. Terrible, terrible thing. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write? That's Isaiah that wrote the book of Isaiah, the prophet. In verse 23, Isaiah slept with his fathers, and again they buried him, didn't cremate him, buried him with his fathers, the field of burial, which belongs to the kings. For they said he's a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. So Jotham, when he began his reign in this chapter 27, he was 25 years and only reigned 16 years. And in verse number 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I hope he's going to do better than these other fellows do. According to all that his father Uzziah did, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He tried to do what was right, I guess, in verse 2, in the sight of the Lord, but not didn't enter into the temple like Uzziah did. In verse 5, he fought with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And verse 6, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. And verse 6 is a very important verse. If you want to, and if I want to be mighty with the Lord, we must prepare our ways before our God. We must follow the Lord, we must follow the Bible's instructions to us, and prepare our hearts for Him.
I have a question.
Yes, question.
Why he don't enter into the temple of the Lord?
Okay, in Chinese? I believe he didn't enter the temple not to worship, but to burn incense. into the temple and burn incense like his father did.
他不要在那边来献祭。
In other words, he did what his father did, but didn't enter in the wrong place at the wrong time to burn incense and get the leprosy because he was in the temple, the sanctuary of the Lord.
得到那个大马风水，他不敢进去。But
not into the sanctuary. Under the sanctuary, yes. The inner court where they should not go. Only the priests could go there. I think that's what it means there.
Yeah.
Other question.
Worship but no burning incense.
Worship but no burning incense. Yes. Other questions or comments that you might have? All right. So what verse were we on now?
Finish 6, going to 7. 27, 6.
Finish 6, Jotham became mighty. But because he prepared his way before the Lord. That's right. That very good, important verse, verse 6. Now, he was a young man when he began to reign, in verse 8, just 25 years old, and he reigned 16 years. Doesn't say too much about his life. In verse 9, he slept with his fathers, and they cremated. Buried him in the city of David. Okay. But in China, you cannot be buried. Now, when we went to visit another country, another city, what was the city?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
New Orleans.
Much water is around New Orleans.
During the Katrina time?
No, just regular time. Yeah. They have a water table, it's very, very high, it's sea level. And so they can't bury, it's just water. So what they do is this, and China could do it the same. They bury above ground. They have burials up here like this, and 1, 2, 3, 4 high. And when the body is decayed, after so many years, they put another body in that same place. Like crypt. Chinese?
他就是因为那个
So there are different ways of there. They're beautiful sepulchres and beautiful graves in the park. All right. That was verse 9, was it? They buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Chapter 28. Yes, question. Mrs. Wade.
When Uzziah, he had a special house because of his leprosy.
Uzziah?
Mm-hmm. So his son, whatever his name was, what's his son?
Jotham. Mm-hmm.
Did he co-reign with Uzziah? Seems like I remember that, but it didn't show up here.
I'm not sure, honey. I really don't remember.
You have to count the years and see if there's an overlap or what.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, question here.
刚才那个刚才苏琪问那个问题说，他是耶和华的殿，那是说他最后的解释还是有进去吗？他有进去做礼拜了，就是敬拜，但是没有献祭。
He wants to clarify again the verse 2 of chapter 27, where the king didn't go enter into the temple of God. He went there to worship, but not to sacrifice.
Yes, not the temple, the sanctuary part of the temple. But just in the temple generally, but not in the sanctuary where God's words were to be, and the incense was to be burned.
You mean the Holy of Holies?
Holy of Holies, and the place where the...
yeah.
Or even in the holy place where the incense was burned.
Yeah.
That's what they meant. The temple, like Hosea entered the temple in the wrong place in the temple.
在那边献祭。
牧师说那个 central 是中央部位，
是在那个
sanctuary
就是那个居所
holy place
圣所，圣所，然后至圣所。
It's a place where they burned incense. All right, so what verse were we on now?
28, chapter 28.
Let's start with Ahaz. All right, number one. Verse number one. Ahaz was 20 years old, and 16 years he reigned. Now, here it very clearly says he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as did David his father. He was wicked, as some of them were. At least some of the kings says he did that which was right, but not completely. But this one, he didn't do what was right, very clearly. Notice what Ahaz did in verse 2. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. He didn't get leprosy, maybe, but his heart was evil and leprous indeed. The kings of Israel, those 10 tribes that were to the north, he should not follow. Neither should he make molten images for Balaam. Terrible, terrible heathen god. But also in verse 3, he burnt incense to the valley of the son of Hinnom. And notice what he did with his children. He didn't put them in ward. He didn't put them in bed. He didn't spank them when they were wrong. He burnt them in the fire.
He
murdered his own children. Like men and women do today with abortion all over this country and all over the world. How about China, abortion? How many each? How many per year? How many per day? Do you have a record?
Per day?
Per day, per year?
But this is a one child policy.
Many. In our country, the average is 1.5 million per year. Ever since the law went into effect, kill babies. Our president is for abortion. And he's against the law that would make it improper for abortion. In fact, he's so evil as far as abortion is concerned. When he was a senator in
Illinois,
he was in favor of having a baby come out and be born alive and well and still kill that baby. One instance of that where he voted in favor of this wicked, wicked crime. That's who we have as the president of our nation right now. And I'm opposed to that sin. What's the difference between killing someone after they're born and killing them in the womb? Slashing them and putting acid on them and burning them. And there's another abortion type of thing, which is late term abortion. Bad enough to kill the babies when they're 3 months, 4 months, but 5.5, almost 6 months, kill them late term, already formed, already babies. But there's lots of variation on abortion. They're talking about a bill, this health care bill right today. The Senate has a bill, the House has a bill. The House has a provision, no federal money for abortions. The Senate bill is not so strong. There's not a little bit of money, but they're not too strong. They've got to come together and agree what they're going to put in that bill. I personally hope the whole bill is canceled. The health care bill is rotten from the word go.
Two thousand pages
in one house, 2,500 pages in another house. Senate and House. 4,500 pages. And what's worse, no one has ever seen them. No one person has ever read everything. The senators haven't read it, the House hasn't read it, and the people of the United States have not read this bill. And at the president wants to push us through. An unread bill. With all kinds of dangers and problems and difficulties and extra taxes and money. And inferior health care. But one of the portions is abortion paid for by the United States government, our tax money. So I don't know what bill is going to pass, if anything passes. But talking about killing the children, that's part of what's coming up. Now, if we have some senators and congressmen that are true to their beliefs, they will not vote for any bill that says the United States tax money will pay for abortions. They will stand up against it, they will vote against it, it will not pass. But the problem with many of our legislators in the House and in the Senate, they can be bought, they can be bribed. And their principles will not be followed. Time will tell what happens to that bill. The election in Massachusetts, where the Republican won, he said, I'm against this health bill. And he makes the 41st Republican senator in the Senate. No longer do the Democrats have a full 60% the bill that they can, without any possibility of voting against it. So we'll see what happens to the killing of babies in this bill. So this king, this wicked king, killed and burned children and people, the babies, as we said here in this verse. Verse number 3, the valley of the son of Hinnom. We saw a play in where? Lancaster, one of the plays, very interesting play. It was on this whole subject. What was it Ruth? Was it? What was it?
Daniel,
something.
Yeah.
That they showed this burning of children. It was very graphic, very interesting. It was a Bible type of story. And they put them into this fire, and the cries of the baby, they really acted that thing out, exactly what was happening, this burning of babies. There's a clause in our United States Constitution saying we should not have any cruel or unusual punishment. When you take acid and pour on that little baby, run out of the mother's womb and slice his head, if that is not unusual and cruel punishment, what is? And Ahaz's burning of his little babies in the fire of the Hinnom, if that isn't cruel and unusual punishment, what is? Our son David was burned in 31% of his body. Huge, huge pain. Pain almost died.
At that time.
Fire is cruel. It's a cruel, painful thing. To have babies burned, as it says here, Ahaz, what sort of a wicked king we have. So he brought his children and burned them, as we say, in the Valley of Hinnom. And what verse were we at? Must my verse here, preaching too much. Verse 13, was it? Verse 3, okay. Burn the children. And the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He continued those abominations. Didn't you get the picture that if God threw out these families from the land because of their sins, why would he want to copy the same sins for which God threw out these people? Notice in verse 4, Ahaz sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and on every green tree. Again, we have these high places. See, it's a place where idols are worshipped, and generally this is a bad place, high places. Notice verse 5. Oh, yes, question.
It seems that, you know, in Bible it's specific to say high places, on the hills, under every green tree. What is the significance of burning incense in those places?
Okay.
Chinese. 这个秋坛山岗青翠树 有什么意思? 为什么在那个地方 烧香?
The reason for that prohibition is that God said just one place to sacrifice and burn incense, Jerusalem.
圣经反对在这些地方建这些秋坛呢
only one place for sacrifice, Jerusalem. And never to have sacrifices or incense on high places, on hills, or under green trees. Green trees were a symbol of Baal worship and other things, and Ashtaroth worship. You see, the high places and the hills are the way that people try to get closer to heaven, closer to God. Remember in Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. They built up high, high, high in order to reach heaven itself.
And
people think that if they got high enough, they get closer to God somehow. But God had forbidden that. Other questions or comments? All right, and verse number 5. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. God has a way of punishing wicked people, such as those of us who live today and those that lived then. So Ahaz, who should have known better, was delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. They smote him, carried him away, a multitude of them, captives. Brought them to Damascus, the capital there of Syria. And then, same in verse number 5, he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with great slaughter.
神又将他交在以色列王手里，以色列王向他大刑杀戮。
You see, the sin of the king brought also judgment on the king's people. That's sad. Notice also in verse 6. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day. And they were valiant men, but because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. What is God going to do to your country in China, to our country, the United States, other countries who have forsaken the Lord God? We don't know what's going to happen. In the present state of the country that has now suffered with the terrific earthquake, Haiti. Understand that they burn incense, they worship the devil, they have all kinds of voodoo and all kinds of terrible, terrible things. I don't know that this is what God is doing to punish the voodoo. I don't know anything about the reason. All I know is steeped and voodoo worship and satanic worship of all kinds. Yes, yes, there are some, I'm sure, some sound missionaries there, but many of them, voodoo. They had another 6 point some earthquake again today. 7 points before, now six more. Don't know when it's going to stop. The figure of 200,000, maybe 250,000 dead, a horrible number, horrible number. We don't know whether that's of God. Nobody knows what God does or what he doesn't do. But in this case, God punished and killed 120,000 because of their sin and forsaking of the Lord. And I know Pat Robertson got in a lot of trouble reminding people that they had satanic worship, and maybe that's why God is judging. And a lot of people say, oh, look, he's... I don't know, and I'm sure he doesn't know whether this is God's judgment or just a normal thing. Who knows? Nobody knows. But this case in verse number 6, we do know that 120,000 were slaughtered because they had forsaken the Lord God of Israel. And when God says in his word the reason for something, we believe it. That's the reason. We don't know other things, but we know when it's in the Bible, we know that's what God said and that's what he means. Notice also in verse 8, the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren, these from Judah, 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took away much spoil to Samaria, the northern 10 tribes. A terrible judgment because of Ahaz, the king's sin against God. 120,000 killed, 200,000 captured and kidnapped to the northern 10 tribe kingdom. Not just men, but women and sons and daughters and children. What a wicked king Ahaz was, and the judgment God put upon the people of Ahaz, not simply Ahaz himself. Notice in verse 8, God had a spokesman. A prophet of the Lord whose name was Oded. And verse 9, he went out before the host that came to Samaria. Said, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And the prophet Oded said this in verse 10. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. And are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? You're taking captive these others that have violated the word of God, and aren't there sins of your own? Sure, there were sins of their own. Now, there did the prophet said in verse 11, now hear therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren. Page 30, verse 11.
11节,
for the first wrath of God is upon you. So the wrath of God was on the south Judah and on the north as well. Then certain of the priests, the tribe of Ephraim, that's the 10 tribe kingdom in the north, Azariah and Berechiah and Jehoiakim, and Amasa, four of these men stood up.
Verse 12, yes.
So they stood up against them that had come from the war. And they said in verse number 13, ye shall not bring in the captives hither.
13节,
apparently to Samaria, the capital there of the north. So whereas we have offended against the Lord, already ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is a fierce wrath against Israel. So the north was to be judged because they were making captives of the southern kingdom and some of the people in Judah. So in verse 14, the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation.
14节, 带兵器的人,
so they didn't do as they had originally intended to do, taking them captive, but they let them go, apparently. And verse 16, at that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him.
16节,
Assyria was another false kingdom, a wicked kingdom. Ahaz was wicked, and he sent to the kings of Assyria, who were also wicked, to help him. And then in verse number 19,
19节,
for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And then Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and distressed him and strengthened him not as he fought against Judah. And in verse number 22, at that time, in his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord?
22节,
notice also what Ahaz the king did in verse 23. He sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him.
23节,
Damascus is the capital of Assyria.
大马士是那个,
and Assyria had smitten Judah, and so he sacrificed to the gods of the one that smote him and hurt him. He said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, then therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. The last part of verse 23 is significant. They were the ruin of him and of all Israel. When you sacrifice to gods and idolatry and the idols, they're going to be the ruin of you and the ruin of me, if that's what we do. What is the main religion of China?
Buddhism.
Taoism and Buddhism. Do they have idols in Buddhism? Do they have idols in Taoism? Atheism or Buddhism?
Buddhism.
But they that worship the idols of God, it's the ruin of them and all of Israel. Now notice also in verse 24, Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels. You know, the one king didn't go into the house of the Lord and got leprosy, but he did go into the house of the Lord and stole all the vessels, cut them in pieces. And shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, verse 24. And made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. See, there was to be only one altar in Jerusalem, right in the temple. Not altars everywhere in Jerusalem. Not altars on every green tree, or in a high hill, or in the high places. Notice in verse 25, in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods. And provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Well, that verse 25 shows some of what went on in the high places to burn incense unto other gods. And that's why the high places should have been removed by these kings that were good kings. And some of the kings went quite far to be good, but they didn't remove the high places. And so in verse number 27, Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they, there's that word again, buried. And they brought him not into the sepulchre of the kings of Israel, but at least they buried him in Jerusalem. He was a wicked king. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Chapter 29. Are there any questions before we go? Yes, there's a question.
Who determines who goes to the, you know, the sepulcher of the kings? You know, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Who decide? Who makes the decision?
I believe bad kings don't go to the sepulcher of the kings. Good kings.
So is there a council? Is there
a I don't know. We just know the result. The result. If we look at all the verses, we'll probably see the bad kings were not put in the sepulcher. Yeah. The good kings. Yeah. Other questions? Yes, yes, ma'am.
In chapter 28, verse 6, they bought, I don't pronounce the word correctly, for Pika, son of Remalia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who are they? Are they king or are they what? Who are they? And they must be Israeli, yeah, people from Israel.
the northern kingdom. But who are they?
That's changing.
Oh. 我的问题是说，对不起，第二十八章第六节的时候，利玛利的儿子底迦虐杀了犹太人十二万，所以我就说他们是谁？我看起来他们是以色列，就是北国的人，可是他们有什么关系有什么关系？他们是什么人？
Agrippa was one of the kings of the north, the son of the ten tribes of Israel. Pekah, son of Remaliah. Other questions or comments? All right, let's go on then to chapter 29. All right. Page number 30. Hezekiah began to reign. 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years.And notice it says in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Remember, it says of one of the kings, he did that which the Lord did but according to his father. But this one goes all the way back to David his father.David wasn't perfect, but David had a heart to please the Lord, and so this indicates perhaps we're going to find Hezekiah not quite that bad as some of the others that claim to be doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. The first thing he did in verse 3 is to open the doors of the house of the Lord and repair them. His father Ahaz had destroyed the temple. I'd like to ask a question before we leave for 10 minutes, and that is, how can such a good king come from such a bad father? Think about that. See you in 10 minutes. Okay. All right, did you get a chance to think about the question that I asked? How can such a rotten father bring forth such a tremendously good son? Any answers?
Because he has good mother.
All right. Can I say? Because he had a good mother. That's exactly what my wife said in the break. Mothers make good sons if they listen. The sons listen to the mother, and the mother's godly. The son can be God. So this is an amazing thing, isn't it? Do good sons necessarily come from good parents?
Not
necessarily.
Not necessarily. So you can't tell whether the son or daughter or children are going to be good, whether they come from good parents or bad parents. Is it possible for good parents to have bad sons and bad children?
There is possibility.
Yeah.
有好的父母亲呢，而你没有孝顺，不好也会发生。
So God is able to transform children if they trust the Lord and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the parents may be. The Proverbs 22:7 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Our job as parents is to train up our children in the way they should go. And ask the Lord to make their hearts right before Him and trust Christ as Savior and Redeemer. So, in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, page 30, first verse, as we said before, Hezekiah, 25 years old and reigned 29 years. His mother's name, Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. I wonder if this was the Zechariah the prophet, who was the son of Jehoiada, that that king slew and stoned to death. It's possible, because in the few chapters earlier, it talks about Zechariah, the prophet. He came to Joash and told him that he was wrong and he should not be doing the things he was doing. Joash killed him, but apparently Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, he had a daughter that was straight and true and apparently trained up the proper way. And Abijah had a son named Hezekiah. As we said before in verse 2, he did that which was right according to David his father. He opened the doors of the temple in verse number 3. Verse number 4, he brought in the priests and the Levites, the proper men, and to train and to set forth the temple. And he got them together into the east street, all the priests and Levites. In verse 5, he gave them a message, a sermon, a talk. He said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites." Messages don't get through unless people hear them. Not only hear them, but understand them. And receive them as factually and factually true. The first thing he told the Levites was to sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your God of the fathers. Sanctify means to set apart. Means to make yourself holy. And you and I must sanctify ourselves and make ourselves as holy as possible. We have, if we're saved, we have God, the Holy Spirit, living within us. Before we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ acceptably, we must be sanctified, set apart, clean. There's an Old Testament verse that says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." And notice, sanctify now yourselves. Don't wait till tomorrow, or a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now, but now. Hezekiah was intent on having the worship of the Lord in the temple right and correct and pure. After he sanctified himself, then they will sanctify the house of the Lord. Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus. He said, "Take heed to thyself." Take heed to, well, it's in 1 Timothy. Just take heed to thyself. And to the work and to the scriptures and the other things. The first thing that Pastor Timothy had to do was to take heed of himself first. No preacher, no pastor, no missionary should do any ministry until first themselves are straightened out with the Lord. And after these Levites had cleaned their own self up, then they can sanctify and clean up the house of the Lord. Then notice in verse 5, they're to carry out the filthiness out of the holy place. All sorts of things, maybe idols to the wrong heathen gods, and take them right out of the filthiness, dirt. It says in verse 6, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, our God. And have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. This is so true. Hezekiah had it right. He was trying to reform and change and make it right. In verse 7 it said, they have shut the doors of the temple, the porch, the lamps. They have not turned burnt incense or offered burnt offerings. In verse 8, there's a result of this wrongness. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as you can see with your eyes. When we transgress and go away from the Lord, he delivers us also to trouble. Astonishment and hissing, this is a judgment. The Lord takes care of us and judges us and chastens us if we're Christians and saved. Then in verse number 10, it is in mine heart, says Hezekiah, to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel. An agreement. In order that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. He wanted God's wrath no longer to be upon him. The city of Jerusalem and the temple was in rack and ruins. It was almost destroyed. He wanted to be close to the Lord and make a covenant, an agreement, and a bargain, and a contract with the Lord. And then he says in verse 11, he calls these Levites my sons. Be not thou negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. And then it says the Levites arose in verse 12. And verse 15, they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves. They went to cleanse the house of the Lord. And verse number 16, the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. Now notice, the Levites went into the outer courts to cleanse the Lord's house, but the priests went into the inner part of the house. Levites could only go so far. The priests could go into the holy place and cleanse the Lord's house. And then in verse 17, they began the first day of the first month to sanctify the Lord's house. And they sanctified the house of the Lord, there in verse 17. Notice in verse 19, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified there before the altar. So King Ahaz threw out these vessels and Hezekiah brought them back, sanctified them, brought them back. And you notice also they brought seven bullocks, and it says in verse 20, the king arose and gathered the rulers of the city, went up to the house of the Lord.
二十节，西西家王清早起来，聚集城里的首领，上耶和华殿，牵着七只公羊。
And look at the offerings in verse 21. 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 goats for sin offering.
21节牵的公羊、公牛、羊羔、公山羊各七只。
I'm glad we don't have to bring offerings, blood offerings anymore.
很好，我们现在不用献这些的祭。
The Lord Jesus Christ our one offering for sin forever.
因为主耶稣已经为我们赎罪，他已经为我们献上这些。
In verse 24, the priests killed them and made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar.
24节，祭司宰了羊，将血献在祭坛上做赎罪祭。
And in verse 25, he set the Levites in the house of the Lord.
25节，王又派利未人在耶和华殿中敲罚。
They had cymbals and psalteries and harps, and they made music, these Levites. In verse 26, the Levites stood with the instruments of David. And notice in verse 28, all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded.
28节,会众都敬拜,歌唱的歌唱,吹号的吹号,如此直到翻地献完了。
So this was a renewal. This was a renewal of worship in Jerusalem. And then in verse 30, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord.
30节, 西西家王与众首领又吩咐利未人用诗词颂赞耶和华。
Again, singing is an important part, even today, of our worship of the Lord.
在我们现在的敬拜的时候，这个诗歌唱诗赞美上帝是非常重要的。
Sing praises, our music should be exalted and pure for the Lord.
这些献诗这些唱歌呢，要纯粹的要在那边来赞美耶和华。
It should be proper, not improper.
就是要很正规的。
As we said before about the current music of the rock rhythm and the jazz and contemporary Christian music, which is not proper for the Lord today.
现代化的那个圣诗呢，有一些用那个方法是不对。
But you can't convince young people today that some of their music is improper. You can't convince them of that.
所以很难说服这些年轻人。
And yet it is important. The praise in music is important in our services even today.
敬拜用诗歌来赞美他是非常重要的。
In verse 31, Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord.
31节, 西西家说, 你们既然归耶和华为圣,
and after their consecration, after their sanctification, they come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings in the house of the Lord.
就要先来把祭物和感谢祭奉到耶和华殿里。
And look at all the burnt offerings that they offered in this place, in verse
32.
70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs for burnt offerings, lots of animals slain. And the consecrated things in verse 33, 600 oxen, 3,000 sheep.
公牛600只,
Verse 34, the priests were too few. They couldn't sacrifice all these animals.
34节,
so the brethren, the Levites, helped them.
所以他们的弟兄,
the priests should have been sacrificing all of the animals, the Levites not, but they had the Levites to help them in that process.
太少,
in chapter 30, Hezekiah.
I have a question.
Yes, question.
On page 31, many places the king
Hezekiah
decided to sanctify, to cleanse the house of the Lord. There are many places that he, for example, verse 17 says, they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and then on the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the Lord, so they sanctified the house of the Lord. So my question is, what do they do to sanctify the house of the Lord? Translate. Okay, 我的问题是说, 在第31页, 在第29章的时候, 他那个, 比如说在第15节, 也许请,
是15或是17节讲到洁净的事情, 他用怎样洁净的方法?
So, yeah, so, 英文是 sanctify, 是
所以今天先分别为神。
So I think the first thing that they do, they apply usually some water, clean up the place. Secondly, they clean up and throw out all things with idol worship and garbage and trash in that way. So the house of the Lord must be clean. So no trash, no rubbish, no idols, and also cleanse, wash. I'm sure that's part of it. To make it pure, make it as holy as they can. Other questions or comments? All right. We're on page 32, are we? It's chapter 30, verse 1. We begin. All right. So Hezekiah here wants to prepare at Passover. So to do that, he sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh. The Passover was normally the first month, the 14th day of the month. And Hezekiah wanted not only the 2 tribes in Judah to come to this Passover, but also the 10 tribes of the north to come. Ephraim and Manasseh are pictures of the whole 10 tribes taken together. That they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Remember when Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, took away the 10 tribes, he moved them north, made the 2 calves of gold, so the people would not return to Jerusalem to worship him. But Hezekiah wanted them to return to the worship of the Lord. Remember yesterday we talked about the 3 different months that every Israelite had to come to Jerusalem. First month, 3rd month, 7th month.
1月、3月跟7月.
3 feasts in the 1st month, 1 in the 3rd, 3 in the 7th.
第一个 1月的时候有三个节期，3月有一个节期，7月有另外三个节期。
7 feasts, we call them Sabbaths, Sabbaths of rest, feasts of the Lord.
要在那边过安息。
And so this Passover, the most important of many of these 7 feasts, Hezekiah wanted the north and the south to come down to Jerusalem and worship and serve the Lord in this way. So he wrote letters, and that they should come to the house of the Lord in verse number 1 for the Passover. Notice in verse 2, the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation to keep the Passover in the 2nd month. I'm sorry, it was not the 1st month, which was according to the scriptures in Leviticus 23. Perhaps the Levites had not sanctified themselves yet. Perhaps the temple had not been sanctified and cleaned up yet. So 2nd month instead of 1st month. So they could not keep it at that time. It says in verse 3, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither have the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And verse 4, the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So in verse number 5, they establish a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, those 10 tribes, from Beersheba to Dan. That was north to south of the 10 tribes, north to south, Beersheba to Dan. Remember yesterday someone asked the question, is it right for the south to have fellowship with the north? And I said, if you remember, it's wrong to go in with evil people, but here Hezekiah was trying for good things to come to the Passover, the feast of the Lord. And that would be a good thing. And so in verse 6, the posts went with the letters from the king. According to the command of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, that is the northern 10 tribes, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Some people that have turned away from the Lord must turn again unto the Lord. You can't give up on people who have turned away from the Lord. You want them to come back to the Lord always. They should come back to the Lord, even today. And those that you know, and those that I know, that are wayward and away from the Lord, we should pray that the Lord would restore them to proper Christian activity for the Lord. And if in verse number 6, if they return to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will return to the remnant of you and that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And so God would go back and give favor to these who come back to him. He will do the same for us if we are wayward and leave his will. Like the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15, he went astray from the Lord. Went astray from his father. He was tired of staying to his father's house. He had no need in his father's house. He had enough food and lodging and clothes. But he did not want to stay. So he asked his father to give him all the funds and the money that was due him. And he went away from his father's house into a foreign land. And he spent his father's money in riotous living. He had wine, women, and song. Whatever entered his mind and his heart, he did. Filthiness, wickedness, corruption. But then he ran out of money. Reminds me of the message that a young man sent, a very brief message to his father. He ran out of money at a college, university. He spent all his money like the prodigal son. He sent a very brief message to his father. No mom, no fun, your son. The father sent back. Too bad, so sad, your dad. And this son, the prodigal son of Luke 15, ran out of money. He didn't know what to do. He finally hired out to a pig farmer. Pigs were an abomination to the Lord. They were not to eat swine flesh. It was an unclean animal. And working with the swine and with the hogs, he got so hungry at times that he would eat the food that was fed to the swine. Swine food was his food that he ate. How much lower could he get? A child of Israel, a Jew, in the swine pens. Was he irreparable? Was he unrecoverable? Was he so deep down that he could never come back to fellowship with his father? He said to himself, why am I here? My father's got all the things at home that I've always loved. And here I am in the swine pen, eating swine food. I'm going to rise, I'll go to my father, and say, I'll sinned against heaven and against thee. And he did. Went back home. The question is, would the father receive this wayward son? Before he ever uttered the words, I've sinned, I'm not worthy to be called thy son, the father accepted him. Bring forth the fatted calf. My son that was lost is found. And the son was restored. And so with these people that had rejected the Lord God of Israel in the days of Hezekiah, he pled with them to come back to the Lord. No one that you know of is so down and out that cannot be received back to the Lord Jesus Christ if he comes by repentance and faith. Do you know of anybody that you give up on the most and the quickest? Do you know of any man or woman that's so low down you'd never expect them to ever get right with the Lord? God is able even to save that person, man or woman, boy or girl. We can't give up on them. They must open the door. We can't smash their door open and say, you must believe in Christ to be saved and come clean with the Lord. But we can pray and urge them, and God is ready to receive them just like that prodigal son. And Hezekiah was burdened for his people. In verse 7 he says, be not like your fathers and your brethren which have trespassed against the Lord God of your fathers, therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. The people of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, was in serious trouble, and Hezekiah knew it. And when he sent those letters to the 10 tribes to the north, he said, don't be so like these other men were, like your fathers. In verse 8, be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were.
Verse 8,
Stiff neck means you don't bend.
就是硬着颈项，就是说很硬啊，就不能。
That's part of the South Korean motif and possibly the Chinese. There's bow. This is bow. We have some South Korean families that come to our church. I greet them at the door and I say hello and they bow. This is a part of their bow. But if you're stiff necked, you can't bow. Just straight. We must not be stiff necked. Bowing means humility. Bowing means lowliness of mind and heart. Stiff neck means arrogance, pride. So Hezekiah tried to talk to these 10 tribes in the north. They've been wicked, wicked, wicked. If you think that 7 tribes in Judah were bad, or all the sons, you should read in 2 Kings and 1 Kings, the northern kings, much, much, much worse. He says in verse 8, be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. That's the Romans 12:1 of the Old Testament right here. Romans 12:1. I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The yieldedness of ourselves to the Lord, God demands. God today cannot use a stiff-necked Christian. God cannot use someone that's not yielded to himself. He can use anyone that's yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't think he can use some of the little things and little ones that maybe are just tiny and not too significant? Maybe there are people that have just recently been saved, and maybe they don't make a lot of money, maybe they're not too sharp and mentally intellectual. Yes, God can use even them. God can use any individual, man, boy, girl, whoever, that's dedicated to himself. And God has a gift for every one of us. We have different gifts if we're saved. And God wants to use us in those gifts that we have for him. But we must be yielding ourselves unto the Lord. And then Hezekiah appeals to these men from the north, the 10 tribes. Enter into a sanctuary. In other words, come to this Passover. That she has sanctified forever. And then verse number 8. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. We must serve if we're saved. Some people say, well, I'm saved, but I'm not going to serve the Lord. Why should I serve the Lord? I've been redeemed. I'm going to heaven. Why do I have to serve the Lord and waste my time with him? I seriously doubt if that sort of person is saved and born again and going to heaven. That doesn't sound to me like someone that's redeemed by the blood of Christ. When Christ saves us, when Christ redeems us, he changes our heart and our life and wants to make us and gives us a desire to serve him.
When we first say, we may not know how to serve Him. We haven't read the Bible. We don't know what His will is, but we want to serve Him anyway. And service is a vital part to any Christian faith. There's a statement that came from somewhere, I don't know where. They also serve who only stand and wait. It's not a quote. I don't know whether it's through or not, whatever, but they also serve who only stand and wait. Everyone can't be a missionary, foreign missionary. But they can stand and hold up and give to the mission cause and pray for the missionaries and stand and wait, standing for the Lord and serving the Lord. But service is a part of the Christian faith. And verse 8 ends, serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. And the wrath was all over the northern ten tribes at this point. You remember we said the northern ten tribes went into captivity to Assyria. They went in first, 100 years before the southern two tribes went into captivity in Babylon. Because of their sins, at about 700 BC, the northern ten tribes went into Assyrian captivity. It stayed right there. And Judah, 100 years later, about 600 BC, went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And he said, Hezekiah said, if ye to serve the Lord, for the fierce of His wrath may turn away from you. Then in verse 9, for if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. So they shall come again into the land, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if ye return unto Him. There is no one that on whom God cannot be merciful. Even those that do great serious sins, if they turn again to the Lord, He can find mercy, He can forgive, and give them grace to return. So Hezekiah, with his letters, appealed to those ten tribes in the north, northern Israel. I don't know how many people listened to those or read those letters from Hezekiah. Verse 10, the posts passed from city to city. That is the mailman, the posts. To the country of Ephraim and Manasseh. Even into Zebulun. Notice the reception the letters had in verse 10. They laughed them to scorn, they mocked them. Some people do that to the gospel of Christ. We were in a lunch place or dinner place last evening. My wife was talking to the waiter that was there, who was a Roman Catholic.
We
We gave him a little calendar. He said, "Oh, you're Baptist." Yes, I'm Catholic. He asked the question, what is the difference between a Catholic and a Baptist? He told them the Baptists believe the scriptures of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these things of the Bible. I don't know that he laughed us to scorn and mocked us, but he had a very bad situation. My wife talked to him at length a little bit later. Very serious. But he did not accept and receive our Savior and our gospel and our difference that we have. There's nothing you can do to someone that laughs you to scorn and mocks you when you talk to them about Christ. I think the wise thing to do after you give them the truth is simply we agree to disagree and we part. But what a terrible thing when Hezekiah wrote letters to the northern ten tribes pleading with them to come back to the Lord, to have them laughed at and mocked. Horrible, horrible, horrible. In verse 11, nevertheless, divers different ones from Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. As they say, you cannot win them all, but you can win some. Yes, question. Come.
About the time, because verse 9 in Hezekiah's letter, he said, if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. So therefore, were they already in captivity?
Nope. Well, quick.
Oh, I'm
translating. Yeah, translating.
Well, the point is, is that, 第八第九节，这个西西家的信上写给北国的人信上面写说，假设你们啊转向，我这个是翻译不对啊，第九节，他说假设你们转向神的话，我就这样念好像，那神第三十节第九节那个，
并在如月他们的人面前，那么如月是不是他们已经被掳了？他说还没有。
I believe in verse 8, where it talks of them that lead them captive, or have compassion on them. I think that looks forward to the time when they would be in captivity. And at that time, they would have compassion if they turn to the Lord. They'll see that they turn to the Lord. Just like at the very end of 2 Chronicles, as we'll see. Cyrus, king of Persia, was minded to send people back to Jerusalem to build the wall, to build the temple. And the Lord used Cyrus to send back these people, and they were captives in the Babylonian Empire that then turned to Persia, and Cyrus was the head of that Persia. I'm sure Cyrus could see that these people loved the Lord and they wanted to return to their homeland. So I believe that your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. If you turn to the Lord, they will see that. And they will help you to get back to your homeland. Other questions, sir, or comments we have? All right. What verse were we on? I always get confused when we.
Sorry.
No, that's no problem. Verse 11, okay. So nevertheless, yeah, they laughed and mocked us, but nevertheless, some of them, Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So at least three tribes out of ten, seven didn't, but three tribes came. Notice verse 12, and in Judah the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. That was unity, one heart. How do churches become with one heart? Very difficult today to have a one heart unity. Everybody wants to have their own views and their own ideas and their own picture. And sometimes they argue and dispute and fight and carry on. But these people, Judah, the 72 tribes, just had one heart unified to do the commandment of the king and princes and by the word of the Lord. The Bible should be our unity, the scriptures, the truths of the word of God. In Jude chapter 1 and verse
3
talks about steadfastly hold to the faith once delivered unto the saints.
Verse 3. 1 verse 3.
Is that the right verse?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Steadfastly hold to the faith. The faith. It's got the article. And it means the body of doctrine that we believe, the New Testament teachings of the Word of God. And we're to steadfast, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. The Bible has been given to us, the faith, the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, His deity, His virgin birth, His bodily resurrection, His miracles, salvation by faith in Him. We're to contend for that and to get, and that contention and that faith, that doctrine should be the source of our unity. There may be other things where we may not have unity, but in the Bible doctrines we must have unity in our local churches. Let's take 10 minutes. I'll see you later. Okay.